This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... I love it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Again, it is a decision that we can make any time to rejoice and be glad in it. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And I apologize with Josh out. I don't have the scriptures up on the screen, but that's all right. David, I appreciate you being up there and covering us today. And Christian, I appreciate you being up here as well, doing a great job. I love that. Okay, verse 5, and it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. I love this. And as we look at this scripture, there's opportunities in here. And we're talking about an awakening in 2024 for the church, for us as individuals, for the body of Christ completely. But I'm looking for that here at Prayer of Faith in each one of you and in myself, that we have an awakening, that we have a season of sacrifice, that we discover more in 24. More what, man? That's up to you and God. What do you want more of? What does He want you to have more of? But it's going to take some work on our part. We have to look at our living and our giving, right? How are we living? How are we giving? Are we giving of our time, talent, resources, gifts, finances, all those things? How are we living? Do they line up with God's Word and what it says in here? I tell you what, the more in 24... Josh and Nikki, they dove right into that, didn't they? The first month, they're just going for it. Man, I want more in 24. Will you marry me? Whew. They went big with that. But when we look at this particular scripture that I just read, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, there's so much more than just that. So open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. And it is kind of funny as I was going through and planning on this, and usually I'm looking months out and I have framework for different messages I'm doing and times of the year and what I want to do. And as I did this one, it started out looking differently than it ended up when I was done with it. Just as I dug deeper, and really I pray for the same thing for you guys. When you open God's Word and you say, okay, today He told me to read this chapter and I'm trying to get through the Bible in 300 years, you know, whatever. So He told me to read this verse. But my prayer is that you guys get hungry to dig further and to dig deeper in His Word. And that's what happened to me as I got looking at this. I thought that was just kind of a springboard into something else. But I was like reading all around that. Knowing the background of this scripture, I thought there's so much more. And I just couldn't leave it alone. I tried to, but I had to keep coming back to it. So I thought, God, You're asking for my obedience, so it sounds like You want me to change it up a little bit and do this. As we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, start out in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 12. And it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." That you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And by the way, when we finish reading this, we're going to come back and break it down. Verse 4 says, "Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, He is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they are also, or to which they also were appointed.'" Verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's a mouthful. There's so many things in here that talk about what we're looking for at Prayer Faith in 2024. I'm looking for an awakening. I'm looking for more in 2024. I'm going through a season of sacrifice in my life so that I can have more. A season of sacrifice so I can have more. I love that. When we look at verse 1, right out of the gate, it gives us instruction. And it says, verse 1, therefore, laying aside. We have to lay some things aside in 24, church. Now, each one of us have different things to lay aside. I've mentioned it before that not everything that we have to put aside is evil. It just may be things that consume our time and our efforts or distract us from God. But that doesn't mean that they're evil. I may have to lay aside some things that aren't evil, but they're just distractions in my life. Does that make sense? It does not have to be evil to be laid aside. But he tells us, lay aside, and he gives us some instruction, lay aside all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. Boy, our tongues, whew. We could use to have those things cut out every now and then, right? David, you're the man. Thank you for getting those scriptures up there. I love it as the church body grows. Verse 2, desire. God's going to give us desires. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. He says, I want you to have a desire, a hunger for my Word. Church, I said it a couple weeks ago. If we aren't hungry for the Word, then there's a certain amount of us that are sleeping. It's that spiritual slumber that we're in. I don't have a desire for His Word. I don't really care about it. I can get it on the radio. I can get it on TV. I can hear the pastor say some scriptures. I get it that way. You don't grow that way. You can. It's possible. I mean, again, God uses all types of avenue. But He gives us a desire for pure milk, which is the Word of God. But then verse 2, He says, also grow. Why do we want to have that desire? So that we may grow. Have a desire for God's Word so that He may grow. I'm going to say this. You know, someone told me about prayer recently. And they said, oh, I heard this preacher talk about prayer. And they said, ask God once and leave it there. Never ask Him again. You're begging. I said, I don't think that's scriptural. I said, because the Bible that I read out of says, with prayer and supplication. What is supplication? Begging, pleading, asking for over and over. It says with prayer and supplication. The definition of supplication is to beg. Man, I've got a lost family member. I'm going to beg God to find them. I've got a friend or a coworker that's going through addiction or whatever. I'm going to pray and I'm going to beg God to release them from that. I'm really going to beg and pray that God makes them aware of where they are. But I thought God's Word is important to know it, because when that person told me that, I said that doesn't line up with His Word. His Word says with prayer and supplication. I'm not going to give up asking for a loved one, not for their health, not for their salvation, not for their restoration, not for their release, not for their relief. And I'm going to beg God, please God, have mercy on them. The Bible is full of stories of people that prayed. and prayed and prayed over and over. And one day, God said, today's your day. He said, this is the day which the Lord has made, and you can rejoice and be glad in it today. We have to grow, but we have to have that desire. And part of that comes from laying aside some distractions from growing and having that desire to read God's Word. Now, verse 3, this one's kind of sneaky in here. And I put down, we have to examine ourselves. Verse 3, it says that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, what does that mean? That means I have to examine myself and say, man, has the Lord been gracious to me? Now, by the way, it does say, tasted that the Lord is gracious. Not was, not past tense. Not that the Lord was once gracious to you, but that the Lord is. It's ongoing. It's continuous. His grace is continuous, church. If you don't feel it, remember last week I was talking about a couple weeks ago, I was talking about the focus and the lens. And when I take these off and my eyes aren't on God, things get a lot fuzzier. I see a bunch of, no offense, blurs out there. I almost said blobs, blurs out there. I mean, I truly cannot see your eyeballs on your face. But with the right focus, when I get my eyes back on God, oh my gosh, you people are so beautiful. You are so wonderful. That's why Pastor Eric and I love this church, because of who and what you are. And God helps us see people clearly for who and what they are. We talked in Ground Zero a couple weeks ago about we are God's wondrous works. Every one of us is. And sometimes we have to look in the mirror. Man, I did it again today. I was looking in the mirror in the pastor's office, and we have that dang LED light. And I thought, God, I don't like this light. It shows every flaw and imperfection. The good news is it does show every hair on my head that I miss sometimes in the other mirrors. But I thought, it's just like God to say, but that's who you are. And I thought, man, God, I didn't like it. But I thought, that's what God does, and His Word does those things. It makes us aware of who and what we are. And it tells us we have to examine ourselves and taste that the Lord is gracious. So that's an examination. But it also says, man, He calls us to come. Verse 4, coming to Him. Church, a lot of us stand here and say, Lord, come to me. Lord, come to me. And He'll come to you and He'll meet you where you are. As a matter of fact, I pray that often. Lord, meet us where we are today. But take us to where you want us to be. And that requires us to go to Him. We have to get off our chairs. We have to get off our chairs and go to Him. He wants us to pursue Him. Coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men. I love that. Verse 4 also says, oh, I've got to prepare myself now. When I go before Him, I have to prepare myself. I love the song, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Church, we have to prepare ourselves when we come before Him. In verse 4, where it says that, it says, coming to Him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. And He chose us. Now He's going to use us, so I have to prepare myself to be a living stone. Not just a natural stone found out there, but now a living stone, one that He can use for His purpose to build His kingdom. And then we have to come before Him with an offering. Verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up. When we come to Him he's asking us or telling us to offer up. Now, what's he telling us to offer up? A sacrifice. The easy things, they're easy. The scripture said, hey, how hard is it to love the lovable? I'm looking for a sacrifice. I want you to love the unlovable. I want you to love the enemy. See, I'm not going to give you the easy ones. They're easy to love, man. They're wonderful people. They're kind. They're generous. They're friendly. He says, I want you to love that grouchy, mean old person. That nasty young person. I want you to love them. But he says, man, I need you to make a sacrifice. Offer up a sacrifice of what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We'll come back to that. Then we skip over to verse 9. Verse 9, what is he looking for us to do? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Woo, I love that. He's already told us who and what we are. But he says, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I love that. He's calling on us to come to him and then to prepare ourselves and to offer up a sacrifice, to have a desire to grow, to examine ourselves. When we take communion, that's why we take an opportunity to examine ourselves, not to bring shame on us or guilt, but so that we can release those things, acknowledge those things, and give those up to God. God, take away this desire. But God, give me this desire. Proclaim praises of him. And why do we do that? Verse 10 tells us why we do that. Because you were once, were not a people, but are now a people of God. That's why we offer up praises, because we didn't belong to him at one point, but now we belong to him. That's praiseworthy in my book, is it not? We belong to him. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And now we are the people of God who had not obtained mercy before, but now have obtained mercy. I love that. Proclaim and praise him because we didn't have mercy before, but now we have mercy. We were in darkness before, now we live in light. Verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, he says, I beg you, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. He tells us to abstain, but then tells us to show our works. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Having your conduct, show your conduct, honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as an evildoer, they may, by your good works, which you have shown to others, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Our work, our day-to-day activity tells a lot about who and what we are. But also those things outside of work and outside of church in those private times tell an awful lot about who and what we are. And it tells us that when people speak against us, our actions will speak for ourselves. Now, yeah, there's some people that will come and surprise us because of those things that they do outside of the public eye. But he says, let your work stand for itself. Whoever you are, let that show. Whatever darkness you have, release that and turn that into light. Whatever hardness you have of the heart, turn that into soft baby-like skin. And release those things. says we have a great privilege as priests. And I love that. Again, we have a great privilege to say, who are you? Why, I'm an ambassador. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm Christ's ambassador. I'm His representative. How can I help you today? Let me help you today. Is there anything you need? We read a couple weeks ago, man, if you have two tunics, give away one. If you have food and someone does not, give them some food. We have a great privilege as priests. But with that comes what? We also have a great corresponding responsibility as priests. It goes hand in hand, church. We can't say, I'm His ambassador. Hey, by the way, let's go out tonight and we'll have some fun tonight. And you can't, those things don't go together. So we can't say, man, I am a priest. He has chosen me. I am a royal priest. Oh, well, I have this great and corresponding responsibility. So, you see, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't talk that way. I can't indulge in these things, whatever it is. Our work has to stand up even when we're not around people that we know. I'm going to a market next weekend, and I've been there before several months ago. And we had a nice dinner, and then afterwards, of course, it was in Vegas. So afterwards, everyone's ready to go do what they do in Vegas. Let's go get drunk and be nasty and whatever. I said, guys, I'm taking an Uber back to the hotel. I don't do well on apps and phones and all that. Trying to get an Uber took me 35 minutes. But anyway, I got home and I went home. And some guy that was with another business, I'm not talking about our company. I'm talking about people that were treating us to a night out on the town or whatever. And this guy was just so filthy and foul and nasty. And he was the owner of a large company. And he thought, well, because I'm paying, I get to act this way and whatever. And I said, when that man comes back from the bathroom, you can tell him this pastor is going home and not going to put up with his stuff. And I just thought, I can't hang out with that. I can't do it. I'm not going to. But that's what I'm saying. We can't just say, well, so long as nobody around Prayer of Faith is going to be in Vegas. You never know. Our work has to stand for itself. Our work has to stand for itself wherever we go. Whatever we're doing, no matter who's around, when it's just God and us, our work has to stand for itself, church. And He gives us these desires. Now, I want to go back to verse 5. Verse 5 talks about our sacrifice. And we're talking about going through a season of sacrifice. We're talking about an awakening and having more in 2024. But it says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, our sacrifice has to be to God. And it has to be through Jesus Christ. You know, many people do sacrifices that honor God, but it's through themselves or through their own means or whatever. Those things don't honor God. It has to be to God through Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to talk about is we say, okay, what kind of sacrifices can we give up? I don't need you to bring animals to church. We don't want to do that. But I want to give you 5 sacrifices that He says, man, these sacrifices will honor God. And I'll give you the corresponding scripture as we do it. The first sacrifice, it's a pretty easy one. It's yourself. Sacrifice yourself. Romans 12:1, I beseech ye, you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, a living stone, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. But I like reminding us right after that, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's asking for us to transform our lives. And transform our lives through what? Transforming our mind. And then once our mind is transformed, that helps to transform our heart. I talked about that a few months back. If we can get our mind changing in the thought process behind what we're thinking and why we're thinking it, and what provokes us to be certain ways or do certain things or go certain places, get our mind on that, then our heart starts changing. Oh, then we get back to this, ooh, I have a desire for that pure milk, which is the Word of God. God, I have a hunger. I want to learn your word. I want to understand the stories in the Bible. Really, I want to understand why Jesus came and what he wants for me in my life. But I want to understand the stories and how they all go together. If we don't have a Bible study here at church that you desire, say, hey, I'd like to start this group. Is anyone interested? Talk amongst yourselves. I love when we used to have those groups, when we met at Michelle and Dwayne's house, when we met at our house. And I love those times together. Digging into the Word, getting other people's perspectives, getting other people's questions that made us go, huh, that's a good question. Let's dig into this and let's find the answers. I love those times. I love our time with adult Bible study here on Wednesday nights and with the teens. I love that. But just like eating once or twice a week, I need a little bit more to fill me up. Okay, so I want more. I have a desire for more. I have a hunger for more. I can read that scripture and go, okay, this is the groundwork for what I want to talk about. Oh, but wait, God has opened it to a bigger thing for me. Offer yourself up, Romans 12:1. You know, and that's hard to do. Lord, all of me is yours. Take it, Lord. All of me is yours. Lord, my thoughts, my dreams, my hopes, my abilities, my skills, Lord, that you gave me, all that, I'm offering that back to you to say, make me an instrument. Lord, I'm the clay. You're the potter. Make me into the vessel you want me to be. Number two, what other sacrifice do we have? Praise God. I love the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God. That is a sacrifice. Hebrews 13. Get my little tab here. Hebrews 13:15. And it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. I love that. God, let me give you praise. Please don't let it be lip service, God. Let me truly be thankful, God, for what you have given me. For the skills and abilities you've given me, for whatever it is, give thanks to God, give praise to God. I love as we went through the Advent season, we talked about the angels. The angels came down to the shepherds out in the fields. And they said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. By the way, God calls us to continue to pass that message on to others that may be in darkness, that may be lost, that may be hurting. I bring you tidings of great joy. And when the shepherds had gone and seen the Christ child, said they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. We need to do the same. Our lesson to Ground Zero a couple weeks ago talking about recognizing God's beauty in His creation. Church, we just have to look around. Look at each other. Look at each other. You are God's wondrous works, each and every one of you. Praise God for all the things you have seen and heard. Praise God for all the people you have seen and heard. Praise God for the people He has put in your life. Number three, do good. Well, right where we were in Hebrews 13:15. Go to the next verse, Hebrews 13, verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We read that a couple weeks ago as well. Do good to others. Now, it sounds like it has been a challenge for some because He said, don't forget, because it's easy to forget. Parents, we do that with our children. Don't forget. Hey, it's cold out there. Don't forget your hat. Don't forget your gloves. Don't forget your scarf. Don't forget a jacket. Don't forget it's below freezing today. Don't wear shorts. Parents, we do that. Why? Because our children forget sometimes. And sometimes they just don't care. Man, it's negative 17. So what? Man, I got shorts, t-shirt. I'm just running 2 miles to the house. The same thing was going on here. Do not forget to do good. That sounds pretty simple. Hey, I'm a good person. I've got to be reminded to do good. I've got to be reminded to share with others. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When we share, God is pleased. When we share a meal with people, God is pleased. When we share finances with people, God is pleased. When we share our clothes, when we share our wisdom, our knowledge, God is pleased. God loves to see us share. Number four, loving others. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. I'm going to read verse 1 also, because I just can't help it. Because of what we were talking about being His representatives. Ephesians 5 verse 1 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. And then verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Love others. Not the easy one, family members. Oh, good. I was afraid someone would go, they're tough. No, not the easy ones. God said, man, it's easy to love those people. But again, as I mentioned earlier, the challenge is loving the unlovable. Those people that are just difficult. Those people that are hard to deal with. Sometimes it is family members. But it says, be imitators of God. Walk in love as Christ also loved us. That means He wants us to love others. And then number five, pray to God. Pray to God. What scripture did I put down? I didn't. Pick any scripture you want for that one. Pray to God. That is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. I couldn't hone in on one that I love the most. But pray to God. He says, man, when you pray to me, it's one thing to hand it to somebody else, but our sacrifice of praying for ourselves or our situation or our needs or whatever it is pleasing to God when we go before Him. As we enter 2024, you know, I want us to come to church, come with an expectation, laying things aside. We have to lay things aside. We have to come with a desire. We have to be prepared to grow ourselves and to examine ourselves. I think when we examine ourselves, that is growth right there, because it's hard to take an assessment of where we stand. Then we have to come to Him. He says, man, come to me. Now, I won't go down that path. But he says, come to me. His desire is for us to go to him. Not always just say, God, come to me. God, come here. I need you. Come quickly. Or, God, come here. And God's all the way across the room there. And you're going, come here, God. Can you not come to me or meet me halfway is what I'm thinking. But there's where I need some work also. But God says, come to me. Then he says, prepare yourself as living stones, as a living sacrifice. By the way, I want you to offer something up to me. What? I don't know, but let it be a sacrifice. A sacrifice of what? I don't know. Praise. Proclaim his name. Praise him. Why? Because before I had not obtained mercy, but now I have obtained mercy. He has shown that to me. Abstain from these things and show yourself strong so that people, when they say things against you, may be proven wrong by your actions. Those five things, what sacrifices will honor God, offer yourself up, praise God, do good, love others, and pray to God. I want us to come each week with an expectation. I want us to give more in 24, to receive more in 24. Give more what? Submit. Submit to a season of sacrifice. What is that? I don't know. It's your time. It's your talent. It's your gifts. It's your finances. It's your love for others. It's your compassion for others. It's your knowledge. It's your wisdom that you have. Share that with other people. Sacrifice that. Don't be the only one holding that knowledge, but share it with others. You know, 1 Peter 2, I'll close with this as our band comes forward. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And we read it earlier. But it just says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And it says, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God has been gracious to us. He has been merciful to us. He has been patient with us. But his word just said earlier, be imitators of him. That means I've got to be gracious with others. I have to be merciful with others, and I have to be patient with others. Amen. That's right. That's the season of sacrifice, becoming more Christ-like. You know, Kisha mentioned earlier, to be Christ-like. Man, I want to be more Christ-like, and I want to see others, and I want to look out and go, hey, Jesus, what's happening? And have you look back and say, I thought you were Jesus. And I want a church full of Jesus freaks out there. I want a church full of people that say, I'm coming with an expectation. And God, I'm coming awake. God, I didn't understand all this, and I still don't understand this. But God, I'm awakening up to your word. And I'm desiring a hunger for it. God, I'm coming with an expectation to learn and grow. Now, this song is a new song to us. It's called Amazing Grace that we're going to sing. Oh, it's been around a while. I love this song. You know, I went through a phase in my life when I first started coming here. This is a song that was playing when I walked up front to the stairs that, well, are underneath this platform right now. And today, maybe that's you. Maybe you're saying, I want to go up front. I just want to dedicate my life to Christ. I want to recommit my life to Christ. God, I want an awakening, whatever that looks like in 2024. I want an awakening in my spiritual journey. God, I want more in 24. And God, I understand it's going to take a sacrifice. And God, I understand you need me to do something on my side. But today, I'm going to publicly promote. Blessed is the day which the Lord has made. We will... I love it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Again, it is a decision that we can make any time to rejoice and be glad in it. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And I apologize with Josh out. I don't have the scriptures up on the screen, but that's all right. David, I appreciate you being up there and covering us today. And Christian, I appreciate you being up here as well, doing a great job. I love that. Okay, verse 5. And it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. I love this. And as we look at this scripture, there's opportunities in here. And we're talking about an awakening in 2024.